This is the Jeff Horowitz Show. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
All right. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for listening. Jeff Horowitz here. Happy to be here with you today. Hope you had a great weekend. It's Monday, August 15th, 2022. Show number 1444. I've got a busy one for you, and I think you're going to find our guest pretty interesting as well. First of all, coming up in a little bit, I've got Christine Accurso, who is an ESA mom. Okay, and that stands for Empowerment Scholarship Accounts. You know, the Arizona legislature expanded the Empowerment Scholarship Accounts this past legislative session, which is essentially the backpack of money gets to follow your kid, and you, as a family, as a parent, get to decide the best route, the best course for your kid's education. This is a huge move that Arizona made, and I applaud the governor, I applaud the legislature for doing this, and it's a model for the rest of the country. And we've had folks on from the Goldwater Institute and people who helped sponsor this bill down at the Arizona legislature talking about it. Well, you know, as soon as they pass this, where basically every family in the state of Arizona has this ability to send their kids to the school of their choice, whether it be private school, homeschooling, or your neighborhood school, your charter schools, whatever it may be, this legislation has opened up that door for full education freedom. Let's call it pro-choice when it comes to education. The left, however, is not on board on this issue, and there's a group out there called Save Our Schools that should really be called Save Our Jobs, because it's really just about saving the broke education system jobs and the union-backed jobs in the state of Arizona. Well, Christine Accurso is an ESA mom. Her kid's been on this ESA program since close to its inception, like 11 years ago. I think she's been on it for like 9 years. She wants to make sure all families have this ability. So we're going to talk with her, share her story, coming from a perspective of being someone who sent their kids through this system, and now how she's fighting to make sure you have the same opportunity. Meanwhile, the Save Our Schools group is out there trying to get signatures, and they have until sometime in September. We'll get the full details from Christine. You may have run into them at the stores and this and that out there with paid circulators trying to gather signatures to put this on the ballot and stop it. We don't want this thing. It's a movement called the Decline to Sign movement. We don't want this thing on the ballot. You get this on the ballot, there's a chance that we lose this Empowerment Scholarship account. And this is going to be a great thing for families and a great thing for our education system if we can get past the union people and this old broken down school system that's still being fostered up. Anyway, Christine's coming up. I also have energy expert and spokesman for energy advocacy group Power the Future, Larry Behrens, returning to the program. As you may have heard, and I've got a lot of details here about it, and plus we'll cover it a lot with Larry, over the weekend, the House of Representatives passed the ridiculously named Inflation Reduction Act that does nothing to tame inflation. Study after study now have said, at best, this thing is neutral when it comes to inflation. And they had the nerve. Of course, they name it Inflation Reduction Act because that's one of the biggest things out there that people are upset about and concerned about is the massive amount of inflation that we've seen over the past couple of years, and especially the past year. So call it what people are all hot about. Oh, yeah, it's the Inflation Reduction Act. Well, it passed the Senate last week. It passed the House this past weekend. And it's heading to, maybe he's already signed the dang thing. I'm sure it'll be sometime this week. It'll be signed into law. It's another $740 billion, or so, I almost said billion spending deal after they just did the CHIPS Act, after they just spent gobs of money to Ukraine. It is unreal how much money these people are spending. So anyway, I decided to get Larry Behrens back on the program because he's an energy expert, and what this is really the Green New Deal. They stopped calling it, ironically enough, as soon as it passes, all the dying legacy media started rebranding this thing, not the Inflation Reduction Act. Maybe they didn't need to call it that anymore, because you remember last week Biden said inflation is now zero. Hey, it's zero. We fixed it. So anyway, they've renamed this thing the climate bill. So now all of a sudden it is a climate bill, and this thing is going to have huge implications when it comes to our energy policy going forward. So Larry will break all that down. Plus I want to get to my top news picks to start off with, though, because I got stuff on the border here. Governor Ducey using shipping containers to seal up a section of the border in Yuma sector. I actually applaud this. However, I got to point out the expenditure seems a bit extreme. You know, we got to point out whenever government does something, they seem to spend way more than it would cost in the private sector. I'll break that down for you. Plus, there's a home builder recession, according to the industry right now. I've got details on that. We've got a shooting, we've got a plane crash, and we got floods, and we'll throw in maybe pestilence for good measure. No, I'm just kidding. We don't have that. We do have floods, though, that have been happening. I guess there's a flood watch in effect here till this evening. I'll give you all the details. Okay, so let's start off with this one. Governor Ducey issues an executive order on the border wall. And I want to start off with saying I applaud the governor for doing what I'm about to share with you. It's about time that governors stood up, and we've been seeing this like in Texas and other states as well. But we've called for, and I've called for, Governor Ducey to stand up on the border issue and say, well, the feds are failing. Let's figure out a way to do this on our own. And in fact, the Arizona legislature, I don't have the number in front of me. I thought it was 200 and something million, or maybe it's, here it is, $335 million was passed in the Arizona legislature to go towards border security. It's ridiculous that we actually have to do this ourselves, but the federal government has failed in an epic manner here. So a few months ago, Governor Ducey went down to the border and he did what we call the photo op there. And it was a section of the wall that the Trump wall was built. And then the old wall was there. And there was a gap. I think it's about 1,000 foot wide gap, something like that. And I complained that here he is in a photo op. And as he's doing this, the governor of Arizona, Ducey, you see illegals coming through. And I'm like, well, why did you just go arrest them right there, right? I mean, we're seeing it happen. It's kind of like when looting was happened during the Black Lives Matter movement in California, and they were just walking out with TVs. It's happening right there. You know, arrest these people. But they did nothing. So Ducey got a lot of pressure, and he stepped up. And he decided this past Friday, just a couple days ago, to issue an executive order on the border wall. And it's kind of lengthy. I'm not going to share the whole thing with you, but I'll give you the bullet points here. Is basically filling the gaps using shipping containers in the Yuma sector. So now these shipping containers, you've seen these shipping containers on the trains and sometimes on trucks. They're 40 feet long by about 9.5 feet wide, and they weigh about 8,000 pounds, 8,500 pounds. So they're very durable. People actually buy them and turn them into homes and storage and all this. There is a plethora of shipping containers all over the place that you can buy and use for various things, used shipping containers. So what they did over the weekend, he issues this executive order and says, we are going to fill this border gap in the Yuma sector with these shipping containers. And he ordered it to be done over the weekend. I believe it's already done. I've seen aerial photographs of this thing. They brought in a company. Which company is this one? I lost the name on this company. They brought in a company that deals with federal emergencies, basically. This is a construction outfit. And what they did is they flattened it out. This is in the desert, keep in mind. This is in Yuma. It's pretty flat. They flattened it out, and then they put a shipping container down, 40 feet long. That they use like a big backhoe, and they raise this thing up, and then they put another one on top. So these things are like, I think it's like 14 feet tall when you stack them on top of each other, something like that. They stack them on top of each other, slide them in place, butt them up against the existing wall. Then they do two more, slap them on top of each other, push it and butt it up against the other two. So they did this for 1,000 feet. The numbers I'm seeing is they used 60 shipping containers and did this along about a thousand foot gap. And then they topped the very top of the shipping containers with 4 feet high razor wire. And they welded the shipping containers together, apparently, right? Tack welded them up so that they all stay together. That's basically it. So he's saying the state plans to fill three gaps in the border wall constructed during former President Donald Trump's tenure in the coming weeks, totaling 3,000 feet. So they did 1,000 feet over the weekend. Apparently, the Biden administration ordered the gaps to be filled in the Yuma sector back in July, but did nothing. And Ducey said, hey, it's about time we do something. Let's fill these gaps in. So they did it. And I suspect he did this on a Friday. And I suspect he said, get it done within 48 hours because they didn't want some kind of court order coming down saying you can't do this or some crap like that. So they just did it. We'll see what happens with the other 2,000 feet. I'm very happy that they're doing this and that the governor's taking action. What does concern me, though, is the dang cost on this stuff. And it's just, you know, the government always manages to it's a government contract, I guess, and it was done in a quick manner. But literally, you're talking a couple backhoe. There's 24 people that worked on this for 48 hours, and you've got a couple backhoes. It looked like they were using a bobcat. I thought they'd use a bulldozer to flatten it out. They, no footings. They're just putting it down on a dirt tack, welding it together, putting some barbed wire on top. Not a very complex job. When I saw the price tag, it was $6 million. At first, I thought it was for just 1,000 feet, but it's actually for 3,000 feet total is what I'm being told. So it's a significant amount per foot. It's a lot of money per foot, but that's government work, I guess. I guess I got the wrong line of work. So anyway, they've closed up this 1,000-foot gap, and they've done it with shipping containers. Your thoughts, I'd love to hear from you. I didn't even give out the email address. Love to hear from you. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. What do you think about the price? Do it at any price, or should we be a little concerned and try to figure out a way to do these things a little cheaper, or we just got to get it done, and any price, get it done. Love to hear from you. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. All right, another item here that may affect you. I guess home builders are now saying the U.S. is officially in a housing recession as sentiment turns negative. This is an article from CNBC. The Biden administration refuses to say that we're actually in a physical, you know, a normal recession, which is traditionally two quarters of negative GDP growth. All the economic activity in the country is contracting for two quarters in a row. They've changed the metrics for that because they say, well, the employment numbers are up and jobs numbers are really good. We've shown you how the jobs numbers really aren't that good because so many people have dropped off the workforce. But anyway, Biden says no recession, but the home builders now say the U.S. is in what's called a housing recession. National Association of Home Builders, Wells Fargo Housing Market Index dropped 6 points in August to 49. Anything below 50 is considered negative. This marks the eighth straight decline in the index. And they're accrediting tighter monetary policy and from the Federal Reserve and persistently elevated construction costs have brought on a housing recession, said the National Association of Home Builders Chief Economist Robert Dietz. So, maybe some deals coming up in housing. I don't know. We'll see. I know that prices have come down some. This is for new construction, of course, but overall the market's gotten a lot softer with especially the higher cost to borrow money. All right, let's switch gears here. A couple more items here in Arizona before we get to our guests coming up. Three suspects pretended to be U.S. Marshals and invaded a home in Arizona. This is from 12 News. It's happened in Mojave County in Golden Valley. That's that area. If you ever go to Vegas and then, or if you turn left to go to Laughlin, it's that big, 11-mile stretch there, that valley out in the middle of nowhere outside Kingman. So three men allegedly impersonated U.S. Marshals at like 4-something in the morning, knocked on the door, occupants asked for ID. They were in masks. That's a good sign that they're not U.S. Marshals. The three busted in, assaulted the two occupants, and the sheriff's office has identified the three suspects. So a lot of crime out there. And it's even happened. Golden Valley's in the middle of nowhere. Another thing in Mojave County. Got a lot of things in Mojave County today. It's from Fox News. 75-year-old Arizona man was rescued Friday from the top of his Jeep after getting stranded in rushing waters. It's a typical story. They went into the wash, rain's coming down, there's water coming down, and it quickly rises up. This was like 2 p.m. They had to come in and rescue the guy. Mojave County Sheriff's Office Search and Rescue came in and rescued the guy. There is a flood watch. I'm listening to thunder going on right now out there, right outside my door. I'm in Flagstaff. Flood watch in effect for most of a big chunk of northern Arizona until 11 p.m. tonight. This is Coconino and Kaibab Plateaus, Grand Canyon Country, Little Colorado River, according to the National Service, Little Colorado River Valley in Coconino, Navajo Counties, and Marble and Glen Canyons. Also Black Mesa, Chinle Valley, base all over the place. We've been getting so much rain. So watch it out there. Watch those washes and don't be, you got the guy in Mojave County on top of his Jeep. You got somebody who's holding on to a signpost recently. Remember that? I think that was in Mojave County as well. So, all right, I got some more Arizona news items coming up here in just a second, so stick around for that. Plus, Christine Accurso is going to join us to talk about empowerment scholarships and the decline to sign movement. Also, energy expert and spokesperson for energy advocacy group Power of the Future, Larry Behrens, is going to join us in just a bit. Hey, if you're concerned like I am about the crazy government spending, which, man, they're just passing this $740 billion Inflation Reduction Act. They just did the CHIPS Act. You had all the stimulus going on. These people are totally out of control. I like to own a little bit of physical gold and silver. You know, I don't give financial advice, but I do tell you to educate yourself when it comes to all different types of investment opportunities. And I've liked to own gold and silver for the past couple of decades. Why don't you learn more about it? Call Justin and his family-run company at Desert Gold Exchange right now. They'll send you up a free investor's kit. All you got to do is mention the Jeff Horvitz Show. They'll get that right up to you. They deal exclusively in physical gold and silver. It's good to hold a little bit of this stuff and have it in your hands for God knows what happens and the craziness. And Justin's been on to talk about the insanity of the debt and the insanity of the government spending and the inflation as well. Call Desert Gold Exchange right now. Justin will help you out. They keep overhead low. They pass those savings on to you. Here's the number, 888-852-4343. That's Desert Gold Exchange at 888-852-4343. 888-852-4343. More to come.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
If you're looking for office space in the Flagstaff area, I started FlagstaffForLease.com many years ago just for you. Right now, we've got an individual office suite for $299 per month plus tax. Larger spaces are available. Check out our complete inventory at Flagstaff4Lease.com. That's FlagstaffForLease.com, or give a call to 928-526-7909. That's 928-526-7909.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
Welcome back. We'll have a brand new giveaway coming up here. We'll announce it during the show today. Lots of good stuff here. Olivia will be by for that. Plus, she wants to read some of your comments. I've got several lined up already. Send me an email, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. You can also leave a comment on the Just Wireless listener line, 877-971-3971. Just Wireless with two locations around Flagstaff, so you can get your smartphone repaired and keep that thing going. They do excellent work. They've done it for me, and they'll really take care of you. Make sure you tell them I sent you when you go in there. We've got two guests coming up here, Christina Curso, who's an Empowerment Scholarship account mom and talking about the Decline to Sign movement, plus energy expert Larry Behrens will break down the House passing, and this thing will become law in this huge spending bill regarding the basically the Green New Deal. He'll break down the energy aspect of this thing and the Green New Deal, point it all out for you and give you all the information you need to know. They're going full on. They're not even calling it the Inflation Reduction Act anymore. A lot of people are just calling it the climate bill. It is now the climate bill. All right, let's hit on a few more items. I will break down the climate bill here in detail and just a little bit as well, including the hiring of what 87,000 new IRS agents and what that means. And then compare that to some other government agencies as well, what the size is. Let's see. There's a shootout in Phoenix. Finish up with my Arizona news items here. There's a Phoenix shootout in Phoenix. People are out of their mind all over the place. This article from AZ Family. Apparently one dead, five injured after a shooting in a Phoenix neighborhood, suspect in custody. I guess they responded to 46th Street and McDowell area around 2 a.m., which never good things going on at 2 a.m. when you got to respond. Officers showed up to find a chaotic, this thing's made national headlines here on this one, chaotic scene with multiple people shot, according to police. A fight broke out between several men. Hear that thunder? It's cranking. Several men during a late night party. During the fight, one of the men pulled out a gun and began shooting into a crowd as he tried to run away. Police say a man in his 40s was shot and died at the scene. Let's see, another incident, not a shooting incident, but this one's a plane incident. Two dead, five injured in a plane crash near the Arizona-Utah border. This is from the Salt Lake Tribune. This is right outside of Page. Two people were killed, not the paper, but where this happened. Two people were killed and five others injured after a small plane crashed into Lake Powell near the Arizona-Utah border, authorities said Monday, today. Officials with the FAA said the pilot reported an engine issue at about 5:30 p.m. Saturday before single-engine Cessna 207 went down in Lake Powell National Park, northeast of Page. The plane and with seven people aboard reportedly was submerged, according to this article, in the lake after the crash. FAA officials said two passengers died, three suffered serious injuries, and two other people had minor injuries. Crazy stuff. All right, love your comments. Go ahead and chime in anytime. Just Wireless listener lines open for you. Olivia will be by later to try to share some of those comments. 877-971-3971. Plus, send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. I want to mention one of our great sponsors here. You know, we have so many great sponsors, and I appreciate all of you who go to places like Namarco's Pizza. Best pizza around, three locations in Flagstaff. Owners Dave and Tommy, they're present daily, and they take care of you. You can tell they've got a smooth running operation, and like I said, the best pizza around, hands down. Give them a call right now if you want to order a pizza for curbside pickup or delivery, 928-779-0024. Or just stop them by one of their three locations. You got the one downtown. There's one west side, which is close to the Flagstaff Mall. Also by Target in, west side. East side is close to the mall. And then also by Target in West Flagstaff, right there off of Milton Avenue before you get to the I-17. Three great locations. You can dine in. Get great cold craft beers, wine by the glass or by the bottle. Plus, don't forget, and check this out tomorrow and throughout the rest of the week until Friday, they've got great lunch specials. I know because I go there a lot from 11 to 2 and get like a pizza and a slice of pizza and a salad, and a soda. No problem. Great price and lots of different toppings to choose from. Go ahead and go online right now. Order online. And get delivery or check out more at namarcospizza.com. That's namarcospizza.com. All right, hang tight. Back in just a minute.
This is the Jeff Horrigan Show. This is the Jeff Horrigan Show.
All right, welcome back. Love your comments. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. I forgot to mention, first of all, it's an extremely busy week. I forgot to mention earlier, though, tomorrow on the program, Tuesday, we will have U.S. Senate candidate, Republican nominee Blake Masters returning to the program. And remember, when he's been on in the past, the interviews have received quite a bit of listens to say the least. And I was watching streaming past couple nights, and I see the Mark Kelly ads running rampant, and Mark Kelly's or Blake Masters is dangerous. He's dangerous. So, I say Mark Kelly's a little dangerous passing the Inflation Reduction Act and all the extra costs and on the national debt and all that. But anyway, we'll talk with Blake Masters tomorrow, so stick around for that and mark that on your calendar. Joining us right now is a ESA mom, Empowerment Scholarship Count. I told you about this earlier. Christina Curso. Christine, am I butchering your last name?
No, you said it perfectly.
I got it. All right. That's a rare thing. Christina Curso is with us, and she's been an ESA mom for the past 9 years. She's really been in this program, the Empowerment Scholarship Account program, where the backpack of money follows your kids. It's what I call freedom of choice when it comes to education. And I wanted to kind of pick your brain, and because you've been actively pushing to make sure this thing becomes available for all parents, all students in the state. But how did you get into it? Share with us your story.
Sure. Well, 9 years ago when we realized that the public schools were failing our son, and we went to a charter school and it disappointed us. So we went to a private school and we just kept trying to find what would fit him best. When we went to the private school, they told us about the ESA. And he has a special needs category. So I said, okay, let's apply. And that was 9 years ago. So once he got qualified and we began with this program, I just kind of dove right into it and realized this was our alternative as parents to have the taxpayers follow our child when the public school system, both charter and district, failed us. And so that was really the gift of it all. Now, our other two children could have been, qualified because he qualified just as being a sibling. But we didn't put them in the program. We're conservative taxpayers, and we just wanted to make sure that this worked for our son. So anyway, so I've followed the legislation of it ever since then for 9 years. There's always a good ESA bill. Go down and testify once in a while. When the legislature's on the fence of whether or not this is good and how they want to make changes, we've made changes over time. And finally, when we did the ESA for all of this year, really putting the pedal to the metal to make sure this is available for every single person without discriminating against any child in this state, it finally passed, which we were so grateful for. But that was the intention of the legislature from 2011, originally, was to make it for everybody, but they just got a lot of pushback.
Yeah, they got a lot of pushback, and quite frankly, I guess maybe you and I were ready for this. I've sent my kids to the public school and then the charter school and then the homeschooling and then COVID and all that. And now the private schools where we're out begging for tax credits is what we're, you know, it's like a part-time job for my wife to do all this. And, so
I did that too for my other kids.
Yeah. And you got to do what you got to do. But I think that people have been awakened. It's much different in 2011, especially when COVID hit. We learned more what was going on in the schools. So I think hopefully, because the opponents of this, the expansion of the Empowerment Scholarship accounts, are saying, oh, we tried this before and the voters of Arizona turned it down. It's probably not the same thing, but it's also a different time now.
Oh, much different. I mean, post-COVID, we live in a totally different world. Moms and dads and grandparents are wide awake.
Yeah.
We know what goes on in the public schools. And again, like, I'm not against public schools. It's not an either or, public schools or ESA. For me, it's a both and. We need strong public schools and we need school choice, because it's not a cookie cutter one size fits all for public schools. So we're wide awake now.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me ask you how this works, Christine. And maybe it's going to be similar once they get this up and running for all students in the state. How complicated is it for you, especially initially, but year after year, to do the ESA? Is it a nightmare or is it a fairly easy process?
When we applied 9 years ago, it was fairly complicated and in my simple mind, because I'm not used to dealing with government when it comes to these issues. I had to submit the IEP for my son and things because he's special needs. It has gotten them tremendously better over the years, thanks to parents standing up and advocating for changes. And now it's actually a lot easier. Once you actually qualify for the program, you don't have to qualify again. So every summer, they just send you a contract so that you can renew what your contract is. So every summer, a parent has a chance to say, you know what? I don't like what the legislature did this session. I'm going to go ahead and put it on. I'm not going to renew. You always have the opportunity to stop at any time and go back to whatever you were doing. But the process is pretty simple. I'm pretty impressed with the Arizona Department of Education's communication on their website of their implementation plan. Any day now, they're going to have the applications ready for people to apply early. They won't start looking at those applications till September 24th when the law goes into effect. But then by law, they have to respond to you in 30 days. So I'm really hopeful that this is going to be a smooth process, because they're up on top of things and they're keeping up with things now. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people that try to, you know, apply all at once. It might be a little sticky for a few weeks, maybe a couple months, but I'm confident that they can do it. They haven't done great in the past. We've had to keep on them and keep on them. There are issues there. We still have to resolve those. But overall, I think they're getting ready for it.
Yeah, that's good. And just to sum it up, the money follows the student. It's student specific. It's not this. It doesn't follow the school. Your student goes to whatever private school, charter school. It could be even homeschooling. There's things in there for that. It follows the kid.
Right. Right. So any student can, or a parent can choose any school for a student to go to. Now the public schools and charter schools are already publicly funded. So this is for whatever else is not publicly funded. Now, when I say publicly funded, you have to realize I don't mean public money, because there's no such thing as that. There's only taxpayer dollars. So our tax dollars are going to follow the student. But there's a lot of confusion about the tax money.
Yeah.
All of the public schools will retain 100% of federal funding and local funding. What we're talking about for an ESA is only 90% of the state portion of the funding. So a public school student's going to get $14,000 this year. An ESA student's getting $7,000.
Okay. And reason why people are confused, Christine, is because of the education system, and there is a widespread thought that money grows on trees. So
right?
It's very confusing. Yeah. Okay. So the teachers union groups, it's called Save Our Schools. I would imagine this is teacher union based. They don't want this to go into effect. They want this to go on the ballot, actually, so that in November of, not this year, is it November of 24? Talk about the push to make sure this doesn't happen and that you don't have freedom of choice when it comes to education.
Well, honestly, I think we don't really know if it's going to be 22 or 24, but if they get enough signatures, that's just over 119,000 signatures, ballot signatures. We're not sure if it's going to be 2022 or 2024. We just know it's going to be November 22 or 24. But right now they're out there trying to get the signatures. And honestly, they are pounding the pavement for Save Our Schools. I mean, when are they going to get it that we want to save our students? It's time that we look at a student from a student perspective always about the teachers, and they're really getting really nasty out there at their petition table. And we've had hundreds of parents now standing beside them to talk to residents to be able to offer the truth with data in hand of what this program is really about. They're just afraid that everybody's going to jump out of the public school system and choose an ESA. They're looking for somebody to blame. They think it's all these policy groups. I think they need to look in the mirror because they're the ones to blame. In 2020, we found out exactly what the public school system is all about. And because of that, their fear might be real that people will jump out of public schools.
And people have left in droves. I mean, so they're fearful, I guess, about save our schools, save our jobs. But I don't get it, yeah. Christina Curso is with us, who's, we'll call you an activist mom. You probably didn't start off this way. You're just trying to do what's best for your kids. And now you're out there making sure everybody has this empowerment scholarship account going forward. They want to save their jobs. But Christine, it doesn't make sense because we're still going to need teachers. The good teachers, there'll be plenty of opportunities to go out there in different environments, different schools, different education, new ways to educate our kids. What are they so afraid about?
Well, I think they're afraid the parents really saw who they are and they're going to jump out of the school. I mean, they have a prime opportunity now to make the product that they have in their schools shine beautifully, yeah. So parents want to stay there. There are so many people running for school boards across the state, and they're trying to make the schools better. Again, some of the people out of these tables for Save Our Schools Arizona are public school board members, elected officials. It's just like, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, I think, and I talked to you before the program today, and I've talked with like Carrie Lake and others about this. They've, quite frankly, no way else to say this, the moms have been pissed off around this country. We've seen it all over, yeah, the place, all across America. They've shown up at school boards. Remember, they were called the letter that went to the regarding domestic terrorists, you know, trying to categorize these people who are protesting the school boards as terrorists. I mean, they've just rubbed parents the wrong way continuously. And now they want to try to stop this and say, quote unquote, save our schools, but really save our jobs. Where are they at far as getting the signatures by the end of September?
Well, I have to say, Carrie Lake has been such a huge supporter of our Decline to Sign movement out there with the moms and rallying, and I'm just so grateful to her. It's great because she has this loud voice in Arizona right now. And honestly, they're at their petition tables, but because we've pivoted every time they change their tactics, these hundreds of parents, instantly will immediately jump to wherever they're at. They are getting fewer and fewer signatures. This past weekend, they filed 16 paid circulars at the Secretary of State's office. So the rumors are out there that they have their signatures. They're putting those rumors out there. But we hear them. But you wouldn't be hiring paid signatures, six circulators for signatures, 40 days out if you had all your signatures.
Yeah,
I think they're afraid. And, you know, one of the ladies out there the other day, I called me an activist, which makes me, it's just a creepy word. I don't like the word activist. However,
I take it back then. I'm sorry.
No. But you know what she said to me? She goes, no, I've seen you out here for 3 weeks at the farmer's market, and you're an activist, which means you're an advocate that actually does something about what you believe.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, you know what? I'll take it. I'll take that.
Yeah. Take what you can there. When you go and you've got people, like you said, potentially 100 people going to these places where there's somebody trying to get signatures. What's that like? I mean, are you concerned about, because obviously this country is so dang divided. And when you get these, is it a good encounter or is it really getting rough as far as, the pro and the cons, your group versus, you know, the ones who are trying to get, yeah, these signatures? What's that like?
Well, we started out on July 23rd with just me and one other mom. And the next weekend we had 4 people, and the next week we had 61. I mean, it's growing fast. This weekend we had 107. And that's just out at the locations that the West says they're going to be at. And honestly, we are kind, respectful, bold, firm, courteous. And we wait for the resident to come to us and talk to us about our side of things. Because we just stand there with a sign that says, do not sign anything from them. And once they're done talking, they come to us and we talk to them. The only people that have been antagonistic have been Save Our Schools.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, we're not there to talk to them. We're there to talk to the residents.
Yeah, they've already made up their mind.
Yeah. Right, we're not there to convince. We're there to inform.
Yeah. Okay. You have some information, and I will put a link in the podcast once this goes up about 5:40 tonight. You have a video that explains, I think, the whole ESA process. I haven't had a chance to look at it, but you told me earlier it's a great tool for people to understand everything about this.
Yeah, it's a comprehensive look. Absolutely. Okay. And if they want to go on Facebook, to our Facebook page, ESA for All, Decline to Sign. One of the groups, the policy groups, was so resourceful to us. They put together a website, and that's declinetosignarizona.com. But if you reach out to us directly, I'll even give you my email address, which is arizonaesamom@gmail.com. Just reach out to us, and we'll get you connected in your area. The most important thing to do is understand the program. And once you understand it, is to be, you know, right beside their tables, wherever they happen to be at, to offer the alternative, which is the parent's view.
Yeah. Okay, Christine, thank you for what you're doing, and thank you to everybody who's joined with you and everybody who's fighting for our kids to save our kids. I sure do appreciate it. And we'll get all that information up on the podcast so everyone can go to talkwithjeff.com and follow and learn more. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff.
Absolutely. Love to hear from you folks. Send me an email, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. We've got Olivia coming up with some of your email comments. We're going to talk about this Inflation Reduction Act in hour two of the program. So definitely stick around for that. And we're going to talk with Larry Behrens, who's an energy expert. This thing is going to change the country. This thing is insane. $740 billion in new spending that the House passed. So stick around. I do want to mention SunState Tech here, and I want you to go to SunStateTech.com right now to take advantage of their free, no obligation technology risk assessment. You know, we all love living in Northern Arizona, but our businesses are running and operating in a global economy. You need tools that are safe and secure that connect you to the entire world. And since 2007, SunState Tech has been helping Arizona businesses and municipalities operate quickly and safely because they handle cybersecurity, managed IT services, voice over IP, and more. Go to sunstatetech.com right now. Like I said, a free, no obligation technology risk assessment. Go take that. Check your systems. Make sure you're safe. Make sure your systems are not vulnerable, which so many are nowadays. Go to sunstatetech.com. Right now, that's sunstatetech.com. Coming back with some of your comments. Hang tight.
This is the Jeff Horowitz Show. This is the Jeff Horowitz Show.
You know, I'm going to bring Glenn Least back in this week from WT Wealth Management for another market update because things are insane out there. If you want to, I think that's going to be Thursday or Friday. And usually we have him on every 2 weeks, but I need to bring him back on some big issues on inflation and the markets and the economy. But if you want to have an individual conversation with Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management, talk to him one-on-one. Give him a call right now. You know, I do stuff with Glenn myself. I try to educate myself on all things when it comes to finance, the markets, real estate, precious metals, everything. I mean, you live in a time where you better know and educate yourself on as much as possible. Why don't you call Glenn Least? He'll talk with you. If you've got questions about your portfolio, about investing, or if you just want a second opinion, give Glenn a call. You know, he's plain spoken. You hear him on the program here quite a bit, and he'll take the time to see if it's a right fit. Give him a call. Here's the number, 928-225-2474. That's 928-225-2474. And don't forget to catch Intelligent Investing with Glenn Least, which airs every Saturday at noon on 97.1 FM and also streaming at bigtalkerradio.com. Give Glenn a call right now, 928-225-2474. Thank you to Christine on the Empowerment Scholarship accounts. I hope this makes it through. My kids are now in private school, and you know my journey with education, and we went to the public school, and it really started off different when my eldest, who is 19 now, Isabel, and she's actually moving back out here and starting her second year in college. But when we started her in school, we didn't know, you know, dumb parents, we didn't know anything. We just, you know, we're like, okay, send them to the public school. I'm not saying that people that send their kids to public school are dumb parents, because there's plenty of good public schools out there, but we just blindly did it. And you can't do that anymore, because we saw the public school, the neighborhood school, change dramatically in the however many years she was there till, what was it, fifth grade or whatever. Changed a lot. And we saw it change even more when Olivia went through the system. And then we decided to go to charter schools. That didn't work. That turned out to be crazier than the public. That, you know, our story with the Northland Preparatory Academy and how they went all diversity, equity, and inclusion. That's all they cared about. It's all I ever heard from the school. Diversity, equity, inclusion. Diversity, equity, inclusion. It was insane. And then, COVID hit and we're like, that's it. We're done. We did homeschooling and, you know, we didn't want it. That's a good fit for a lot of people. It wasn't a good fit for us. So we decided to go to a private, school, and it's worked out great. Kids have been really happy, but it costs money. And so my wife's scrounging for tax credits and doing all that. My son Owen actually just won a contest for a drawing. I'll get this up and tell you more about it. I'll bring him in on a future show. Won a $1,000 scholarship because of he's very good with drawing and engineering, designing things. Kids got planes all over the place, made of cardboard, like, you know, these scale models. It's getting insane. He can barely walk through the house anymore. But anyway, we decided that, hey, we got to figure out the best course for education when it comes to our kids. So declined to sign that thing. And a lot of times you're like, oh, let the people decide. No, don't let the unions decide. Don't put this thing on the ballot. You see them out there say, no, I'm not signing this thing. It's not worth it. Anyway, love your thoughts. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Olivia will actually be by the end of the second hour with your comments. And I think we have a new giveaway too. So we'll give you details on that. Plus we got just here's a little preview. We've got Larry Behrens coming up an hour or two. He's an energy expert. He's been on the show multiple times. This Inflation Reduction Act passed the House of Representatives over the weekend. All the Democrats love it. It's now called the Climate Bill and Saving Puppies Act. And it's like $750 billion in spending. It's going to change our energy policy. So the question I have for Larry is, what do we do from here? Because I sense we're going the way of Germany or California, where we're reliant on things that don't produce the right amount of energy to fuel our economy and to fuel our country. And we're going to wind up in a bad spot. Like, I'm really concerned about this thing. Because they want us to just have windmills and solar panels, and it's great on a day like this with all the flood watches that are out there and all the clouds and all the raining that's going on. I'm really concerned about this thing. And I'm also really concerned, and I don't know if I'll run out of time today, and Larry's more the energy aspect of this, but the extra, 87,000 IRS agents that they're hiring, doubling the size of the IRS. The IRS currently has 74,000 employees, more than doubling. They're adding another 87,000 employees. I don't even know where they're going to hire these people. If you're a small business out there, you can't even find somebody to make a sandwich. They're going to find 87,000 new employees. I mean, that's inflationary right there, because that's going to take people away from the private sector. Insanity. And I'm concerned about the debt and all the spending that this bill is bringing out. You have Senator Sinema here in Arizona for coming on board, and Manchin in West Virginia for coming on board on this thing. 87,000 agents to get what, the 700 billionaires? No, that's not going to happen. They'll be coming after small businesses in this country. So I need to spend a lot of time this week trying to break down what's in this bill. Larry Behrens will join us, like I said, next hour, and he'll break down the energy aspect of this. So stick around. And if you got a comment, love to hear from you. Send an email, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Everything about this bill is inflationary. And I just, you know, why do you even need to think about this over the long break here? And we'll be back with Larry Behrens. Why do they even need to collect more money? They just print money. You know what? What did they just print it out of thin air? Anyway, folks, love your thoughts. Send me those email comments. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Back in just a few minutes.
This is the Jeff Horowitz Show. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
All right, welcome to the second hour of the program here on a really soggy northern Arizona, really Arizona day. It's just rain everywhere. Flood watch is going on. We're going to get into the Inflation Reduction Act again. As you know, past the House, heading over to Biden's desk. This thing's a monster. And they might as well, I think they're calling it the climate bill now, so they've already changed that. It's going to be the happy puppies and kittens bill here in a few minutes. I've got Larry Behrens coming up. He's an energy expert. Let's see what he's on earth that's in this monster 700, 800 page bill in just a second. And thank you, last hour to Christine Accurso, who is an ESA mom, Empowerment Scholarship Accounts. This is full school choice. Arizona's leading the way when it comes to education freedom, where the money follows the kid, not the school. And of course, the teachers union groups are just, they're raging over this one. They want it on the ballot, probably in 2024, meaning parents will have to wait. And, they want to make sure that you do not have freedom of choice when it comes to your kid's education. I don't understand why they call it the Save Our Schools group or whatever they want to say. It's to save our jobs. They want to save their, but there's going to be plenty of school jobs out there, teacher jobs. So if you missed my interview with Christine, really important information there from the first hour. It'll be podcast here by 5:40. If you're not already subscribed to the podcast, it is free. Look it up. The Jeff Horvitz Show on all your favorite podcast providers, including Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple, all of those. So, and plus we'd love your comments. Olivia will be back in. Read some of your comments, email those in, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. And one show note, don't forget we have U.S. Senate candidate and Republican nominee here going up against Mark Kelly. Blake Masters returns to the program tomorrow. Sponsor is the Blind Brothers. If you are thinking about hunkering down and closing the blinds from all the craziness that's going on everywhere. I did my top news picks last hour too, and that'll make your head shake. Why don't you call my friends or go to their website, theblindbrothers.com. Now, the Blind Brothers, great Arizona company where you can get all your blinds, your shutters, your shades. You work directly with them, not any subcontractors. They'll help you out. They'll lay out all your options. And best of all, if you mention the Jeff Horvitz Show when you call, and get half off installation in addition to any other advertised specials. Do your neighbors a favor. Call the Blind Brothers right now at 928-634-2423. That's 928-634-2423, or go to theblindbrothers.com. All right, let's welcome back to the program Larry Behrens, who is a spokesman for Energy Advocacy Group, Power of the Future, energy expert, looking at this crazy bill that passed the House over the weekend. Larry, how you doing?
I'm great, Jeff. I understand it's a wet Monday up there in Northern Arizona. Ooh,
yeah, it's been like a record monsoon, just keeps dumping on us, and we'll take it because next year probably be dry.
it's your fault for driving that gas powered car. That's what it's brought rain to the northern mountains. There,
it is. I you know, I have nothing but big vehicle. Actually, we do have one small vehicle. We have a Mini Cooper that I got for my wife like a year ago. Really fun car. It doesn't, you know, it's very good on gas, except for when I drive it, because the thing goes really fast. I burn through it. Well, they probably want to come collect my cars. Maybe that's in this bill. What is this Inflation Reduction Act now? Are they calling it the climate bill now? Have you seen the pivot over the weekend?
I haven't. You know, what I've called it from the get-go is the Biden green tax bill. I mean, he's raising taxes during a recession to pay for the payola to go to, you know, the grift that is, you know, the green agenda. And I know those are strong words, and some people may think it's hyperbole, but it's really not. You know, Joe Biden has a record over the last decade of taking money that is supposed to go for, I'll say it, you know, in quotes, renewables, and they magically find their way into campaign donors. They magically find a way to get squandered, and they magically find a way to never, ever help the taxpayer. And it's going to be no different now. I mean, we've got $369 billion with a B. And to put that into a little bit of perspective, we all remember, and he was in charge of it, Joe Biden was in charge of Solyndra back in 2009, right? And they lost all the money in Solyndra. The $369 billion would be nearly 690 Solyndras. That's how much money Joe Biden now has to waste.
It's the scale of this that concerns me in our country, Larry. I mean, just in general, we've been talking about, you know, CHIPS bill a couple weeks ago, 200 and something billion dollars, money to Ukraine, $60 billion, all the bailouts and all the stimulus checks and trillions, trillions, trillions. And it's the numbers have gotten so big, Larry, that I just don't think anybody even notices anymore, sadly.
It is absolutely true. And you know, they keep spending it because no one ever wants to just be the guy that says no. And I understand the eat your vegetables person is not that popular. But in this case, we have it going through an agenda that is a proven record of failure. You know, I mean, if you guys are relying solely on solar power today at Flagstaff, how would that work out? It wouldn't today, right? I imagine there's not a lot of
stuff. I have my backup coal plan, so I'm okay.
Oh, you're good. You're good. I totally understand. But when it's, and I mean, we're right now at the stage that we can kind of laugh about it and say, huh, cloudy day, didn't work. But pretty soon, because of bills like this one, they are taking off coal-fired power plants off of the grid. And we're looking at a situation where, you know, when you go down this socialistic central planning green road, you find the first, you know, kind of casualty is your budget, is your pocketbook. And we've seen that over the last, you know, 18 plus months, right? Yeah. From anywhere at the pump to the electric bill and so forth. But the next part is scarcity. And sadly, we've seen some of that too. And when it comes to energy, energy scarcity is something that our, you know, livelihoods and our way of life cannot live without. And so looking specifically at the bill, you have your $7,500 so that if you want to run out and buy an electric vehicle, the government will kick back $7,500. But the fun, ironic part about that is over the last 2 days, I think Ford and another major car manufacturer has shockingly raised the cost of their EVs $8,500. So your whole tax break gets eaten away there. But let's talk about who's buying these cars. You know, one study found that your household income has to be north of $150,000. And this was before the Biden recession, so it may even be higher now. North of $150,000 before you start to consider even buying an electric vehicle. And, you know, I know the lovely people of Flagstaff. There's a lot of great folks there, but I'm pretty sure not all of them are making north of $150,000. And that means they're not considering buying an electric vehicle. And if your family's struggling with $4 a gallon gasoline, then, you know, $60,000, $70,000 for an electric vehicle is going to be out of the reach for so many Americans. And so that's part of this bill that will continue. There's $20 billion that'll go to green banks. And just like in 2009, the Government Accountability Office took a look at it. And when Joe Biden spent $20 billion to go to green loan groups, that's where the Solyndra money came from, by the way. A lot of it, they found, went to Obama donors and bundlers. And the GAO found, like, we can't figure out why they awarded one applicant, did not award another applicant, and we couldn't figure out how many jobs, if any, that it created. And so we can expect that $20 billion to go away then. I mean, if I'm looking at it right now, my guess is that this was a bill that Joe Biden knows he won't be able to pass in a month or two, depending on how a lot of people vote, including the good people of Arizona. Joe Biden knows he won't be able to pass a bill like this in a month or two. And so he has to get the payola to all of his allies and friends right now. And yeah, we're talking about the IRS.
Yeah, and, I mean, 87,000 agents.
Yeah,
87,000. Let me ask you something before we get too far here, because I want to back up.
Sure.
Okay, the rebate is ridiculous because, and we heard Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg. He was like, you can, if you're paying something like this, I'm paraphrasing, you can't afford the gas when it was $5 a gallon. So, you know, you just got to get a more fuel efficient car or go electric, right? That's their attitude, is go electric.
Right.
But that's not, I don't know how many are available for 50,000, 60,000, 70,000, but the reality is if you can't afford the gas an extra 100, 200, 300 bucks a month, you can't afford to go spend $50,000 on an electric vehicle. It's detached from reality.
It is, and it's actually hubris, right? It's just saying, well, you know what? I'm going to force you to go in one direction. Let's say you have the money. And it's going to say, you know, I know it's better for your money than you do. So you go and buy this and not that. It is absolute hubris to do it. And it is hypocrisy as well, just to continue the, you know, alliteration today. It's hypocrisy as well because Pete Buttigieg shows up to his press conferences on a bike, but that we find out he shoves that bike into a gas-guzzling SUV a few blocks away. Joe Biden doesn't own a single electric vehicle. He's proud of all the cars he owns, which are many because his dad owned a car dealership. Joe Biden doesn't own a single electric vehicle. And so they are expecting from you what they will not do themselves. And I'll tell you, I mean, you know, I would ask Senator Mark Kelly, you know what? You just voted to force us down this road, no pun intended. Do you own an electric vehicle? As you're driving from your events from Flagstaff down to Sedona, down to Phoenix, down to Tucson, are you be able to do that in an electric vehicle in one day? And the answer is, of course not. He does ads where he's sitting in front of his fossil fuel powered airplane, and it was fossil fuels that got him into space, but yet he'll vote for bills that force the rest of us to go down a road of failure.
Larry, first of all, I got to correct you. I've never seen him in Flagstaff or Sedona. I'm sure he's come through, and I'm just unaware of it. I think he took his rocket ship, which runs on electricity, and then he's got his cool guy ads that are going on TV where he's in front of his motorcycle, which maybe he's not running that anymore, but it didn't look like an electric bike to me. It looked like it burned good old gasoline. What's the $20 billion to green banks? What is a green bank?
What a great question, right? And so they don't trust if you have a local neighborhood credit union or even a larger bank, or those banks that have virtue signal that they love the environment, Joe Biden doesn't even trust them to hand out money. So there are in only about 39 states what are called green banks, and their sole mission is to fund things that are good for the earth. And so if you want to, you know, start a business that does anything, they're going to ask you, how does this help the earth? And if you can't figure that out, it's like, it doesn't help the earth. It only employs people and, you know, helps the city economy and gets taxes so kids can go to school. That's not good enough for a green bank. And so make no mistake about it. There are Biden donors lined up ready with LLCs by their names that will say, oh, yeah, we'll monitor the such and such river, maybe the Gila River in southern Arizona, and we'll just keep an eye on it. And, yeah, that's good for a million, right? And then green bank money hands it right out. And let's just be honest about where this is going too, because you're right to point out the IRS agents, and you would ask, well, what do the IRS agents have to do with the green part of this bill? Well, what's amazing is the Union for IRS Agents donates near exclusively to Democrat candidates, just like environmental groups and just like a whole lot of environmental multimillionaires like Michael Bloomberg. And so when you take taxpayer dollars, hire a bunch of them or force a bunch of money into that industry, you can rest assured that a whole lot of that money is coming back to you in terms of campaign donations, whether straight to a candidate or to their PACs or any types of independent expenditures, because the green, a part of the green agenda, is always about the cash.
And we saw this in Arizona, was the linchpin on this Senator Sinema, where she came on board and changed the bill for the hedge fund guys. And then she was all of a sudden on board, and Manchin jumped ship. Cause I think you're right. They sense this is their last hurrah, most likely going to lose the House coming up in November, possibly the Senate. We shall see what happens. I don't have a crystal ball, but they should lose the Senate. What can we do? Because even if, let's look ahead to November. The Republicans gain control of the House. This bill signed into law. It's done. Not going to have the presidency, and the Senate is questionable. What do we do at this point? Do I plant a tree on my roof and try to get a tax credit or something? I mean, or how do we go forward? Yeah. How do we fix this?
That's a great question. I'm not going to bemoan the planting a tree. That may, you know, go to one of those green banks and see if they'll give you a couple million to do that.
Get in the game here, yeah.
The fact of the matter is Congress controls the purse strings. And so if there is an opposition in Congress that can say, we know this bill passed, we know it was funded, they can cut that funding at any time. And if the funding has already gone out, then you know what? We're going to call Interior Secretary Deb Haaland before Congress to ask us how she's spending the money. We're going to call Jennifer Granholm. We're going to call Pete Buttigieg before Congress. And we're going to do it once a month before we find out, and we're going to ask for all their emails, all their calendars, and everything that goes to show. And tell you what, why don't we as Congress, if there is such love with the green agenda because of this bill, why don't we cut all their transportation funding for every one of their departments, unless it's an electric vehicle? Why don't we cut the bills for the heating and cooling in all their buildings, even though they're all working from home now in D.C.? Why don't we cut their bills if it's not produced from quote-unquote renewable energy? Make them live the same way they are demanding that you and I live, and you're going to find just how quickly and how difficult it is to, for them to have to really embrace this agenda that they speak about all the time. Don't forget, it was just a few years ago when the Green New Deal was brought before the Senate, not a single senator would vote for it.
Yeah, and the world's changed so dramatically in just the past few years. I like the idea. Make them live by that. We'll see if that actually happens and there's any force to do that. I mean, it's kind of like going to the World Economic Forum and telling the Klaus Schwabs to, because they want people to eat bugs. You know, seriously, they want you to stop eating meat and stuff and eat bugs. You go first. You know, I'm not going fear factor on you here. Okay.
They're not banning private jets at the World Economic Forum.
No, Leonardo DiCaprio, you know, he likes to whine a lot, but he likes flying in his jet. Final question here. We're talking with Larry Behrens, with the advocacy group Power of the Future. You saw what happened in Sri Lanka. They went full on green, couldn't even use fertilizer and stuff like that. Finally, people burnt down the cap. I mean, it got nasty. You see another example in Germany where Russia invades Ukraine and Germany was going to, you know, just power their, you know, industrial economy, the powerhouse of Europe on fairy dust and windmills and solar, I guess. And now they're in a heck of a spot. I'm a little concerned about this winter. Where do we line up if we keep going down this path? Germany, Sri Lanka, where are we heading if we keep going down the road here?
That's a great question and the absolute right question to ask. You know, Arizona in northeast Arizona used to have the Kianta coal mine. It's gone now, right? Within the last 4 or 5 years, that was powering a lot of your state. And, you know, thankfully there's still Mesa Verde in your state. There are traditional and reliable, affordable energy sources that are still available in the state of Arizona. Thank goodness. But, you know, your neighbor just to the west is going to be demanding a lot of power, and they don't have those sources anymore. And so to answer your question more directly, it's going to be tough. And so are we going to learn as Europe suffers, like, should we go down this road? I mean, it is really, for those who get the reference, we have been studying, when it comes to energy, the playbook of the Washington Generals and saying, yeah, let's do that because those guys have a winning game plan. No, it is absolutely not the way to go. And if we can do a U-turn on it before it gets to that point that we're seeing now in Germany and in Sri Lanka, and let's throw in the Netherlands there too, and let's throw in England, right? Because their energy prices have gone through the roof. All of Europe went down this path. They're learning it is unsustainable because, just like you and me, maybe they're addicted to hot water and they're addicted to heat in the winter and cool in the summer, and they are unable to maintain that when they put their electricity grid to something as crazy as the weather. And that is what they are doing. And so hopefully we don't have to get to that point before we learn. But I gotta tell you, they see what's happening in Europe in Washington, and they still passed the bill last week.
That's a great point. It makes me think about how many people are going and buying a generator and other things and just saying but then you got to fuel that with fossil fuels, you know? So okay. All right, Larry,
maybe siphon some gas from Senator Kelly's motorcycle and we'll all get by.
Yeah, get some. Yeah, there you go. Do us a favor as you continue to dive into this bill that's 700-800 pages. I think you're going to find more. Just send us a message and we'll get you back on, because I think you're going to unearth lots of stuff that nobody read that we're going to find out here pretty soon. Appreciate it.
Jeff, always great for the opportunity. Have a great day, man.
You too. All right, folks. Larry Behrens with Advocacy Group, Energy Advocacy Group, Power of the Future. Love your comments. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Sponsor is Sportsman's Bar and Grill. It is Monday, start of a new busy week. And you know, Sportsman's always has some great specials every day of the week. And these aren't just at dinner time or lunchtime or something. These are day-long specials. While they're open, you can get today $3 quarter pound Polish all beef hot links. So specials all day, daily specials. Tomorrow, Taco Tuesday, $3 tacos. And you get shrimp, fish, lobster, carnitas, steak, and chicken. It's also Tap Tuesday tomorrow. You got all pints for $4, including Mother Road. Go to Sportsman's Bar and Grill, have a drink, get a great meal, meet a lot of great people there. Lots of sports action going on with their 17 TVs for any game you want to watch. Voted best sports bar many, many years in a row in Flagstaff. They're in Flagstaff, up by the hospital in the Bash's Shopping Center, Sportsman's Bar and Grill. More to come. Hang tight.
This is the Jeff Orvin Show. This is the Jeff Orvin Show.
All right, welcome back. Olivia's here with me. Man, it is. Did you bring your umbrella to school today when you went?
I should have.
Yeah.
There's flash flood warnings, too. I mean, it's crazy. And then with the burn scars and then so much rain, like it was raining all day.
There's moss growing. You'd think we live in the Northwest. Our patio is like those pavers and there's like
moss growing
in between. Now that's all going to die once it dries out here eventually, because it's not going to keep going like we live in the Northwest. But yeah, I think the forecast is through the week supposed to continue with the rain. So we'll keep an eye on it. Yeah, what is a flash flood till 7?
About 7, but I mean,
that's
if it's a flash
one area
flood, then you don't know how long it'll go for when it'll start. They can't really predict that. But Coconino County and Navajo County.
Okay, till 7 p.m., and I've seen stuff extending it out. I think, like I said, be careful all week. There was, in the first hour of the show, I was reading some, you know, my top news picks from around the state, and there was someone in Mojave County that got their Jeep stuck in a wash. You know, the 75-year-old guy had to get rescued. You get in there, and what happens is you don't know what's coming underneath, and I've seen this. Because there was a time where I drove through a wash. I shouldn't have. It was during the Schultz fire, and I drove out to Grandpa's property, which is north of Flagstaff in the Timberline area. And there's actually if you watch it now, don't drive through them because there's boulders and stuff like running underneath the water that you don't even know about. So definitely not worth it. Okay, we'll get to a comment or two here. I want to recap some of my top news picks, including the shipping container thing, the Inflation Reduction Act passing the House. I've got more on that as we finish up a very busy day here. I do want to mention Kelly Broadus. The real estate market's constantly changing, and you really need someone who is, you know, at the top of their game, and that's definitely Kelly Broadus. She's top 2% of all realtors in the entire nation. I just read last hour also that the home builders folks, the new starts, all the home building going on in the country is technically now considered in a home building recession because less people are building homes. Interest rates have gone up. I don't know what that's going to mean to existing stock because less homes are being built now. The cost have spiraled out of control to build a new home. You still see Flagstaff is insanely priced. You still see places like Prescott are insanely priced. Sedona, really everywhere. Cottonwood, everything's gone up dramatically. Call Kelly Broadus. She can help you out. She's seen all of this before. She knows how to kind of navigate through these interesting real estate times. Whether you're listing your home, selling your home or buying a new home, call Kelly Broadus right now at 928-606-6749. That's Kelly Broadus at 928-606-6749. Comments?
Yes. We have one from Bruce. We need two people to file as write-ins for Arizona State Legislature.
For LD6. I don't know, Bruce. Bruce has sent me a couple comments because LD6 has no challengers. So the Democrats that made it through, there was a primary challenge for those House seats in LD6, which is a heavily leaning favored Democrat district. I talked about this, I think, last week. I said that there are some places where people are just kind of giving up and not even putting up. My ballot, which is in Coconino County and LD6 and county seats, they're just unopposed at this point. They really have very little options when it comes to voting. I'm actually in LD7. I guess people feel the same way in Yavapai County and LD7 in Tehillah County. It's a Republican leaning district, so it's probably, it would be nice to have a challenge. So if someone wants to be a write-in candidate on the Republican side, Bruce, maybe you should do it. You know, I think Bruce has run in the past. So talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Okay. A few of my top news picks from the first hour of the program. You heard it. I was kind of going on about this one, the shipping container thing.
On and on.
Yeah. And I don't want people to misread this. Let me recap what happened. So Ducey, a couple months ago, was down at the border, right? He's doing this photo op press conference. And while he was there, he was pictured like the Trump wall, right? Right here. And it ended, and there's this gap that's maybe 1,000 feet wide between the old wall. So Trump wall, old wall, open. So what happens? People walk through.
Yeah.
Illegally. Like, yeah, I don't know what happened.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know where you're going to that. It's like, oh, wow, there's a giant wall. Oh, yeah, there's a people, gap. People, well, what am I going to do? Get a ladder or walk through?
Like I said, so they walked through. Yeah. It's pretty. So they were walking through while he was doing this photo op. And I was like, hey, why don't they arrest these people? They're coming into our country illegally, blatantly in the middle of the day, right? So he did do something. And I actually applaud him for doing this. He's a tricky customer because, man, he was great the first year, 2 years, really first term of his administration. Then he got reelected. He got really squishy. COVID, he went wild. He was like, we called him Lord Ducey for a while because he was like executive order.
Great job,
executive
Ducey.
Order. Yeah, he was shutting things down. He was selectively closing certain things. It was crazy. Too many executive orders. Well, he did another executive order, and I actually applaud this executive order because it has to do with closing up the border. And so what they did is they took these shipping containers, and they're 40 foot long, 9.5 feet wide. What's the height on these things? They're 10 feet high or something. It's 9 feet high, something like that. It's the things that you see on the cargo ships and on the trains that get shipped. They're all over the places, these shipping containers. So it was kind of a good idea, I guess. You stack them up, and I'm watching these backhoes. There's pictures of it all over online. Just Google it. And these backhoes can lift it up. They're 8,500 pounds or so, and they stack them on top of each other. Not even staggered, but just right on top of each other. And then they butt it up against the wall, And then they do the next one, two stacked up on top of each other and butted up against, and then tack weld it, just weld it together so they don't come apart, even though I doubt they would. And then they run in. So they do that. They did 60 containers.
And that's great, but.
No, that's great. But supposedly they're doing 3,000 feet in total. And he did this over the weekend through an executive order. He did it on Friday because you don't want to let the Biden administration go to court and say you shouldn't be doing that. Biden said that we have to close the Yuma sector back in July. He actually said, let's close this up. But they never did anything. They never actually closed it. So Ducey comes along and say, hey, let's stack up shipping containers and finish the wall in this big gap. 3,000 total feet is what they're doing. It's $6 million. Here's where I, as a fiscal conservative, as someone who is concerned about, as you all know, the fiscal situation in our country, I do the math on this, and it's like $2,000 a foot. And I guess I live in the world of private sector, and I'm like, come on, shipping containers cost like $4,000 each.
You want to spend as little as you possibly can. Isn't that the end goal?
Why is the government, why is everything so expensive with government? Nick, don't get me wrong. I'm glad he's doing it. I'm glad he's filling the gap. But I'm just like 60 shipping containers times like $4,000. Like that's like $240,000. Okay.
Two thoughts on that. One, it's like, at this point, I guess they're just so used to handling huge amounts that they just, like, don't care if they waste a lot. And then, two, how is it even possible to waste that much, even if you are being careless? Because that, to me, just sounds like conspiracy, like, oh,
funneling money,
they need
like
money to do, like, some kind of secret alien project autopsy somewhere. Yes.
Yeah.
And so they just, like, take it off of existing stuff. They add a million here, a million there, and then they just funnel it off. That's what I think's going on.
Well, as you remember that movie, Independence Day, and he's in the jet, and he's like, well, you don't think a toilet seat's actually $400, or a hammer's actually $1,000, so it's like, that's more on the federal side, because they just outrageously charge something, and then it goes into some fund somewhere that you don't even know about. I don't think it's the case here. I just think it's a government contractor that they called up and said, hey, we need you to do this quick under this emergency act, so get out there, here's $6 million, fill in this border hole with shipping containers. Okay. That's fine. Go ahead.
You did the math in like 2 minutes this morning.
Yeah,
though,
my gears, again, applaud the action. But as conservatives, we also have to say, wait a second. We got to watch how much we spend when it's for our things, because we always say the other side, like we've been talking about the Inflation Reduction Act. Oh, I can't believe they're spending that much money. It's ridiculous.
But when it's our things,
it's like we also have to question our side and say, wait a second, is this really, could you have done this more economically? So anyway, you got 60, I'm reading that there's 60 containers, unless I'm missing something here, and the governor's welcome to come back on the program. He hasn't been on in 2.5 years, but whatever. Maybe when Carrie Lake becomes governor, she's been on a ton, she'll be on more frequently than Ducey's been the past 2.5 years. But yeah, I looked it up. Shipping containers are like $4,000 times 60 is 240,000. And then, okay, you got two backhoes and they had a bobcat flattening out. They didn't even have to pour footings or anything. And like, even if this was grossly overvalued, I'm coming up with $1 million. Like if you were like,
well, that's
adding
what I was
it so much,
earlier, $5 million extra.
Where's the extra $5 million? I mean, come on, what is it? And there's 24 guys that worked over the weekend. So a crew of 24, 2 days of work, a couple of big backhoes that could lift 8,500 pounds, stack them on each other. You need a welder, which is one of the 24 guys. They weld it together and they're stringing barbed wire along the top. I just $2,000 a foot. I guess I'm just stuck in like, you know, I watch every penny and everything. And then the federal government, or not the federal government, in this case, the state government just hands it out. And there you go. That's what it costs. Go ahead. Real quick.
You know, one other thing I was thinking was you were saying that they didn't want Biden to figure out in case there was like a court.
Yeah. They hold it up court.
And I'm like, why would anybody not want to defend their country when it's like this big of a problem?
Oh,
like,
yeah. Why didn't he get it done? Yeah.
What do you have to be? What do you have to like? What's your brain like? How do you think to like think that that's okay and not want to defend it?
Not get it done. Yeah.
It's like, why doesn't everyone want to go and put a brick there?
Yeah, exactly. We should. I would have volunteered to go down and help weld together. I can't really weld, but I could bolt together the shipping containers.
Screw it.
Again, I'm not complaining about the action. I think it's great. We need to do this and close off the border, but we have to question costs and scratch our head and say, this seems like a lot. Could we have done it next weekend for half the price? I don't know. Was it a rush job? Anyway, hey, why don't you, maybe they need some gutters on those new shipping containers. containers they put up there. They should call Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona. He'll do it at a very reasonable price. Carl, the Gutter Helmet man, a ton of experience here in Northern Arizona. And Gutter Helmet's the number one gutter protection company in the world. Give them a call right now. Mention the Jeff Horvitz Show, and you can save big. You can save up to 30%. Plus, don't forget about their senior military and first responder discounts. Call or text Carl, the Gutter Helmet man, right now at 928-318-6555. That's 928-318-6555, or you can go to gutterhelmetsnaz.com. Olivia, I can probably talk about this all day, but I applaud the action of the shipping containers. Watch the cost, man.
I just still don't get how people can see the world to not want to do that. Like,
well, just go down there yourselves. Yeah, I'll burn cars that. And yeah, I'll string the, we'll put the wall up ourselves. I'd volunteer. Let's get volunteers down there. All right. Tomorrow we've got Blake Masters returning to the show. Should be a great show. Join us at 4:06. I hope you all have a great, safe, dry night. We'll see you soon. Take care.